Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Okay, you guys good? Just turn to somebody next to you and say, possess the land. Possess the land. Brilliant. Now turn to them and say, it's time to come alive. That'll all make sense in the next few minutes, okay? God's been speaking to us since the autumn in regards to prayer and giving us a bit of a prayer strategy, and we've begun to outwork that through this year. Many of you will know that the first 7 days of each month we pray from the 1st to the 7th, and we have 24/7 prayer going on. So you know that on the website you can go and click on that and fill in the hours that you want to pray and everything. But God spoke to us. Part of the prayer strategy was to have continual prayer for 7 days at the beginning of each month. And each hour is like passing the baton on to the next person. And we're praying into our friends and family, work colleagues, people around us, really coming to know Jesus. That's the primary kind of thing that we're praying into the first 7 days of the month. How many of you want to see more of your friends and family come to know Jesus? And a lot of that starts in prayer, and we're going to look at some of that in a minute. So tomorrow's the 1st of May, and so from midnight tonight, the 24/7 prayer begins. We said this year we'd add a little bit of fasting in as well each time, so that's down to you what you might want to do. You might want to miss one meal a day or during the week, or you might want to fast some form of media or something for the week. But I want to encourage you to not just think about 1 hour and say, well, I've done my hour, but actually to give yourself this week and to see, well, whether somebody else is praying during that hour or not, I'm going to just run with that baton of prayer. I'm going to pray for my family, my friends, my work colleagues, whoever they are, whoever God's given you as your, if I can put it this way, your faith targets, the people that God has spoken to you about, put on your heart to be the ones that you're really reaching out to and praying for and sharing your life with to see them come to know him. So we have this prayer week. Now, one of the other things practically we did was that the monthly prayer meetings that we have, we've moved those, as you know, to the first week of the month. So it's joined up with the 24/7 prayer. So this Wednesday night, as you've heard already, we have in all the different congregations around the area, we have the Impact prayer meetings, which is specifically praying into reaching the town where the congregation is based. And we'll come into some of it. We'll explain a bit more about what that's going to look like this week and next month as well. And then linked into that, as you heard, we've got a new reading plan for this month. And we're going to be looking at some things in the Old Testament. We've read through the New Testament a couple of times, haven't we, over the last year or so. But we're going to be looking through Genesis and Exodus, not just all in one month. That would be quite a bit to do. But there's one chapter a day, Book of Genesis. So the first 31 chapters of Genesis we're going to look at. But also we've paralleled with that Proverbs. So maybe to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. You might find that's too much. You might just need to read a few verses because there's so much in Proverbs. But at least, you know, it's not about do whatever, read it all and tick the box. It's really about taking some time every day to sit with the Lord and to spend time with him in his word, giving him time and space to speak into our lives and to spend some time journaling, writing down what's the Holy Spirit saying to you. And you'll know, many of you as well as I do, God doesn't sort of say one thing to us one day, something completely different the next, and something totally different the next. He seems to kind of speak to us over a course of a few days or a couple of weeks about something in our lives or about him, and he shows us more of himself. And that's one of the reasons why we want to take time every day just to spend in the word, listening to him. What's he saying? Because the word in our lives is like ammunition. And every day God wants to push fresh ammunition in our lives Because he knows the stuff. He knows the stuff that comes at us every day. Whether it's the enemy having a go, just the things of life out there. And we need to be ammoed up in our lives every day so that no matter what comes across our paths or comes at us, we have the right bit of ammo at the right time, loaded up, and we take out whatever comes against us. We can then respond in the right way also to whatever is going on. So when we spend time in the Word, God knows exactly what we need to hear any given day because he knows what's going to happen in that day. And so he can prepare us, get us ready for everything that's going to come our way so that we live victorious. We live as overcomers every day in our lives. That we don't live as victims. We don't live on the tail end of everything. But because we are rooting and establishing our lives in him, in his word, then we walk on the rock of who he is during the day, right? So that no matter what comes up to try and push us off that thing, we're being rooted and established in the rock of who he is. And then we can walk straight. We can stand firm, right? Everybody with me this morning? Great. So the word's really key in our lives. And this is going to link in again. All of this is going to come together in the next few minutes. So God's speaking to us about possessing the land, okay? Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 17. I'm just going to read quite a few scriptures this morning, comment on a few bits, and as we kind of go through what God wants to not just say but do in our lives today and in this coming week as we pray and give ourselves to prayer. So, story about Jacob, okay? And he's on his way to Haran. Verse 11, when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Sleep over there. He lay down to sleep over there. All right. I said go to sleep over there. All righty. And he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. Wow, pretty awesome vision, eh? Stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you, important, turn to somebody else, say, I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Or you are here at this moment. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. That's a prophetic word. And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, right? All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you, right? So God has given us promises, whether personally or for us as a church, and God is going to continue to walk with us all the way until we see every promise fulfilled. Which is, anyway, verse 16, When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Interesting. We'll come back to that as well. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So he says there, I was, the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. One of the things I believe God wants to give us increasing revelation of is who he is, what it means for him to be in our lives, and not just aware of his presence, okay, but it says, surely the Lord is in this place. He is here. One of the things we heard recently, I don't know if it was in the encounter nights on a Sunday or a mixture of the two, but how Jesus, when he was on earth in his ministry, he would go to the throne room. He would go to be with the Father to receive everything he needed. So that any given day, then when he went out to in his ministry, he then had everything he needed from the Father to release whatever the Father wanted to do that day. So when Jesus said to the disciples at the end of the Gospels, I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to ask him to send the same Spirit that he put in me, I'm going to ask him to send and put the same spirit in you. Wow. So Jesus couldn't do anything that he did without the Father giving him the Holy Spirit. So Jesus without the Holy Spirit would be just like you and I without the Holy Spirit. We couldn't do anything that was going to bear fruit for the kingdom. So Jesus knew, I need the Spirit within me, the Holy Spirit in me, to enable me to hear the Father and to see what he's doing so that I can then operate in the power of the Spirit. And then he says, I'm going to go there, but the Holy Spirit's going to, it needs to be here with you. So I'm going up there, but the Father is going to then give you the Spirit that you need to do everything that you're going to need to do. So we need to realize that not just the presence of God in terms of worship and atmosphere, but God himself is in our lives. And therefore, God is in this place. He's in this place here. We need to be aware of it in a fresh way because there's some things that God wants to release on earth because they've already been released in heaven. But he needs us to cooperate with him, to agree with him and believe with him to see those things released on earth that have already been released in heaven. Okay? Are you with me? Then he says, this is the gate of heaven. What is a gate? A gate, in these terms, is a place of authority. So when you go back to these times, those days, you know, every city would have a wall, it would have gates, and the gate represented a place of authority. Whoever manned the gates could say, yes, you can come in, or no, you can't. Or yes, you can go out, or no, you can't. So the gates represented a place of authority, a place of decision and permission, but also the gates represented a place of security, which was a place which means safety and protection. Now, we don't have gates in the same way around all our towns and cities anymore because of the way society is. It's slightly, well, I was going to say it's less extreme. It isn't in different ways. But we're used to, you know, leaving the country, going to the airport, and you have to go through immigration, passport control. You get your bags checked. And that's like a gateway. It might have a physical gate, but it's like a gate where you have to put your suitcase through. You have to just about get everything. You have to take virtually everything off apart from your boxer shorts these days, isn't it? To go through, you know, every little thing, your rings, your watch, everything, you know, otherwise you have to go back through, take your shoes off, take your socks off. I mean, it's like, you know, this isn't a spa. This is an airport. I just want to get on a plane and go somewhere, you know. But we understand what that means as a gate. And there's authority there that says, yes, you can go through or no, you can't. Or unless you take that out of your bag, that knife, for example, or whatever it is, and leave it there, you can't go through. They're there for our protection and safety, but it also represents authority to release and to permit or to actually bind or to stop something from going on. So God has been speaking to us about praying in different ways. And one of the things, one of the visions that God gave us, or in a vision, in a prayer meeting in the autumn, was a picture of Horsham, or at least the towns where we have congregations, or any town that we're going to establish a congregation in, that you have a town. Every town has roadways going into that town. And in that vision, what was seen was there were roadblocks set up on every entrance point into a town. And as I saw this taking place, these roadblocks, that they were obviously to prevent things coming in that shouldn't, and but also they could be opened and permit things to go in that should be, in the spirit this is. But then as I watched this thing, every roadblock then burst into flames and came on fire, and then every roadblock around that town then connected like as a ring of fire. And as I watched it, that ring of fire then moved inwards across the whole town. And in that moment, God said to me that what he's doing as the fire comes in, he's purging the place from the enemy. He's cleansing the atmosphere and clearing the way for the gospel. Okay, so this is something that God does in the spirit, but it was all linked with God speaking about prayer. And how we then, as his people, his ambassadors, I'll put it that way, on earth, have a responsibility then to stand in the gates, to pray in the gates as people of fire. Because when Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit, he said the Holy Spirit's going to come with fire. Not just some kind of experience, but the fire of the Holy Spirit. But the fire of God is going to purge the enemy out of places, cleanse the atmosphere, and clear the way for the gospel. So what is it that Jesus taught the disciples how to pray? What did he say when they said, teach us? He obviously said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we know it's about relationship. Everything we do in our life flows from relationship with the Father. Our Father who art in heaven. So the Father is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Honored be your name. Magnified be your name. Glorify, you know, your name. Okay. But then what does he say? Then it says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So one of the things we understand from what Jesus is saying there, part of our responsibility as believers on earth is to see God's kingdom come and his will be done as it is in heaven. Is that right? Then what does it talk about then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? It talks about us being ambassadors. And I love this phrase. There's 2 Corinthians 5 verses 17 to 20. It talks about us being new creations in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, not something we've done. We've been reconciled to himself through Christ, and he's now given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, we know that means to take the gospel to people, okay? But part of that gospel is to stand in the gates and to pray and to take authority to bind and permit things that should happen and things that shouldn't happen, because the whole prayer strategy that God's given us is not just a spiritual activity to do every now and then because it's a good idea to fill our time. It's actually about seeing people's lives transformed. It's about the lost being saved. It's about people being set free. It's about the individual, the couple, the family, the household. Why has God given us a prayer strategy? Because there's lives that he wants to transform that in this moment the enemy has got a hold of. In the prayer meeting this morning, Karen, who was leading the meeting in the group we were praying in, she had a picture of a Monopoly board. And she said on this Monopoly board, instead of people, you know, buying the houses and everything, it was like in houses there were squatters. And people and what she saw is that people were squatting in these houses. And what God wants to do is evict the squatters. And it was a picture of what God wants to do in prayer. At the gates of our towns where we live, it's like what it represents spiritually. We have the authority to either prevent what comes into our towns. How crime comes into our towns. Drugs come into our towns. Other things come into our towns where people want to bring something negative, destructive or whatever. And we want to bind those things. Okay. But it's what goes on in the spirit as well as in the natural. And one of the things as we pray in the gates is we're evicting the squatter, the enemy, and the way he wants to steal, kill and destroy people's lives. So we have an authority to evict the squatter when we pray, because that's some of what goes on. What a great picture, eh? I love that. It's like, you know, when we're going to pray, what are we doing? So in a gate, say, in an entrance point in a town, coming into this town, say, Horsham, on Wednesday night, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to meet here initially for a few minutes, and then we're going to go out to the different gates. And we've got some other things we're going to use, prayer decrees, scriptures, and various things we're going to look at in a minute, and I'll show you, and you've got on your seats. And we're going to use these things, and one of the things we're going to do is we're going to evict the squatter. We're going to evict the enemy. We're going to take authority over him. So there's some things that need to stop in our town, but also there's some things we need to release to start happening in our town in a greater way. Is that all right? So we're going to pray in geographical gates, certain key entrance points into Horsham. Crawley are doing that. Worthing are doing that as well. The same strategy and everything. Next month in June, we won't go to geographical gates, but we'll go to other specific places within the town where certain things have taken place, and we need to shut those gates where the enemy's opened it because of maybe various activities that have gone on, you know, where people have done certain things, committed suicide, or and it's opened up a gate where then other people have done the same thing in the same place. We want to go there and shut those things, and instead we want to release life. So there's different places we're going to go and pray, the park, where loads of young people hang out and various things happen over there. That's another gate where things have been done there, things have happened there, and we need to go and shut some things. Is that all right? Yeah. Why? Because this is our town. We know the council run it, and we pray for the council and all that they do. We want to bless them and pray for them and all the guys that work for the council and the local councils and everything. But in the spirit, the church has a spiritual responsibility to actually be stopping stuff and releasing things in our town, right? In terms of the authority that we have. So what it says in this verse here, I love this. This is all to do with God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. It says here that we've now been given the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. What does that mean? That's as though God was here himself doing what he's telling us to do. So it's like he was saying, if I was on earth, this is what I would be doing. But I'm not here. But what I have done is I am here because I've given you my spirit. But my spirit isn't just randomly floating around. I've put my spirit on the inside of you. And what I want to do now is to work through your lives as a temple, as a vessel of the Holy Spirit. And I want to take you to certain places. And there's things the Holy Spirit is going to pray through our lives to stop the enemy at work, but then to release the things of God in those places. Are you with me? So we're like vessels of the Holy Spirit, available for him to then pray through our lives in the way that he wants to pray through us, where and how he wants us to pray, okay? So God has given us a strategy. What is a strategy? A strategy is literally, is what it means, a series of maneuvers to obtain a specific goal or to get a specific result. That's pretty cool, isn't it? A strategy is a series of maneuvers. So God is giving us a series of maneuvers, and we need to cooperate with him, because if God has given us a strategy, we need to cooperate with him to then see the outworking of what he wants to do. Not say, well, that's great for a few people, but I've got another way. It's like, well, okay, but God calls us to be a body moving together to see his purposes outworked. So we want to work together in terms of what God wants to do. In Joshua 1, chapter 1, many of you will know this scripture well. When God speaks to him in verse 3 of chapter 1, and he says, I will give you every place where you set your foot or where you tread, as I promised Moses. Now, the word set there, or you could use the same word, the word tread, means the same thing. In those days, when they had bow and arrows, what they used to do to set the bow, they would place the bit that you hold on the ground with the bow kind of coming up here, and they would put their foot on it, they would set their foot on it or tread on it, then they would pull the bow back to set it in place. Because the kind of bows they had for some things were too powerful just to keep pulling back. The kind of bows they're talking about here are going to cause some pretty serious damage, right? And so what they would do, they would set this bow, they would pull it up, and then they would put it in a holding position and then hold it up and set the arrow to then hit the target in a specific way. So when he says here, wherever you set your foot, Joshua understood it wasn't just, well, I'll go on a little kind of, you know, little kind of thing and hallelujah, praise Jesus, I'll just speak that and release that in the name of it. It wasn't just do whatever you like. What it was is, look, I've given you a purpose here. You're going to take the land. You're going to go across the Jordan and you're going to take the land. You're going to come into the fullness of everything that I've promised you and spoken to you about. Every place where you set your foot. So the first place was Jericho. Then it was Ai. Then it was... So God showed them, this is what I want you to do. Every place you set your foot. And so as we go, what are we doing? We're going to certain places to pray, whether this week coming on Wednesday or whether next month in June or on other times when we're going to be praying. We need to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what's actually going on. We don't just want to come up with a few ideas of let's make the prayer meetings a bit different to make people enjoy them a bit more. That's not what we're doing. You know, we're only doing it because God said to do it. Because we could pray in this room here and we can see things happen. But just because we pray in a gate, it doesn't necessarily mean you can't see the same. But if God says, I want you to go and do this, and I want you to go and stand in those places as people of fire, and I want you to begin to declare some things, decree some things, you need to take some authority. It's because God's got a plan of some maneuvers that he's working out, right? Are you with me? So we want to set our feet. We want to go to those places. And then in the spirit, we're going to release some arrows. It's interesting what that was prayed last night, that the last session of the women's conference, people were released as arrows of fire going out to go back to wherever they've come from, whether we're here locally or people from other parts of the country that were here. People have been sent out as arrows of fire. That's what God wants to do when we pray. They're like arrows of fire being released. Why? Because he's going to purge the place from the enemy. He's going to change the atmosphere to open up the way for the gospel. All right. Then Colossians 4, verse 2. What does it say there? It says, devote yourselves to prayer. This is today's reading, actually. We're in Colossians 4 today. It's amazing. It's amazing how often when you're reading that in the morning, how it's relevant for your day or my day or our day, like today is our day together. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. The word watchful there means to be vigilant and alert. So be vigilant and alert and full of thanksgiving. Because faith always is full of thanksgiving. Because when you pray with faith, that's it. It's a done job. And you thank God for what he's done. The word devote there means to continue in something. Also, the word devote there can mean to love. Okay? Love to pray or continue in prayer in a vigilant and an alert way, being full of thanksgiving. That's how God wants us to be. Devote. It's a command there. Devote yourself. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. Because that's your weapon against the enemy. That's the weapon in our tool, in our armory, not a toolkit, in our armory, to come against the enemy. Prayer, prayer. Well, the enemy has no answer to prayer. Why? Because when we pray, we're praying the word. We're praying God's will. The enemy has no answer to the word because the word is more powerful than what the enemy wants to try and do or stop or hinder. And so the word when we go out and pray is going to be really important. So we have these prayer decrees. If you want to grab them, you might not be able to read them where you are. But basically, it says at the top, stand in the gates, prayer decree. And this is what we're going to be using on Wednesday as we pray. And not just as a kind of thing we say in rote, because we're not just going to read this out when we go there. We're going to use different parts of it, different moments as we pray in the gates, in groups or whatever, and pray different things in relation to this, and then some scriptures in relation to this, which the people that are leading whatever gate you end up going to on Wednesday will kind of lead in that and give direction in that. But what we're doing is we're using this as a proclamation, as a declaration, but then also we're decreeing some things over our town, okay? The purposes of God, the will of God, the word of God, the things that he's saying and the things that he wants to release over Horsham or Crawley or Worthing or other places where we live, that we can go and stand in the gates and pray. And so what... linked with that, what we're also going to do, every group's going to have a little bottle of oil, and wherever we pray, we're going to anoint these gates, these places with oil, right? So we pour a bit out on the pavements, the roads or whatever, and we're going to do a bit of that. When something's anointed, what does it do? It means it's set apart for something holy. When somebody's anointed, they're set apart for the purposes of God and for something holy. And so when we pray in our gates, it's like, right, we're setting this town apart for God's holy purposes. And things that are not holy are not going to be able to come into our town, because we're going out there with the authority as ambassadors in his name, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to stand in those places and say, enough is enough. These things are going to stop coming into our town. This kind of thing is going to stop happening in our town. And we're now going to anoint this place with oil. And anything that tries to come in that's not from him is going to somehow break down or not be able to get in or whatever that represents spiritually. Is that okay? And the same, we're going to do the same next month, wherever we go and pray within the town. We're going to take oil with us. We're going to roll through the park or shopping area or car parks or certain roads or places or things that stuff, where stuff goes on. We're going to put oil up. We're going to anoint this place and set the place apart for God's holy purposes. And just see in your mind's eye when you pray the fire of God being established in all the entrance points in our town here. And as we go into the town, the fire of God then coming in and dealing with the enemy. Yeah. but also then releasing His God's purposes in terms of what He wants to do. Okay, so we pray because we believe. We pray because we believe. Let's just put it a different way. We don't pray when we don't believe. When we don't believe, we don't pray. Because in that moment we think, well, if I pray, I don't think anything will happen. So we don't pray. But when we believe, we pray. Now, some of you might say, well, surely we pray to believe, don't we? Sometimes when you're praying, God wants to get you, lead you to a place of faith. So that you're then praying in faith, with faith, okay? So we don't want to pray in these gates trying to get to a place of faith. We want to pray with faith in the gates, knowing this is what God has said and what He wants to do. So sometimes we need to spend time with God, say, God, would you move me? Would you lead me? Would you speak to me? Because He authors faith. He speaks faith, doesn't He, through His word. So God, I want you to speak to me to author faith in me so that I pray in a place of faith and actually believe what you say so that when I pray, I'm praying with faith. So sometimes in our lives, we think, well, have you prayed about that? No, I haven't. Why is that? Well, fundamentally, we probably don't think, well, I don't know. I don't think anything's going to happen. And we can't muster faith from ourselves and come up with faith ourselves. Faith always comes from Him. And so that's why we want to know, well, Father, what is Your will? What are You saying? And many of us know this verse, 1 John 5, 14-15, that we have confidence in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have what we ask of Him. So that's a prayer of faith. When you're in a place of faith, there's a confidence, a boldness. That's it. God has spoken. Let's do it. And actually, you end up praying less words because you're not trying to convince God or yourself, or probably yourself more than Him. We're not trying to convince ourselves, you know, hopefully, you know, if I say enough, God will do something. You know, sometimes one sentence in faith will release far, far more than many, many words that we try and pray that might sound good or whatever, or maybe convince God. But God's like, no, just pray this. So God wants to speak to us, and then we pray and speak and decree into these situations the will and the purpose of God. Not us telling God what He needs to do in those situations, but Him speaking to us, and then we go in His name, stand in those places and say, right, enough is enough, or this is time for this to be released, or whatever's going to be going on. You ready? Let's just stand together, shall we? There's a song. There's a lady called Lauren Daigle, and sort of singer, American, you know. But she has an amazing heart to seek God, to know God. You just hear it in the lyrics and her songs and everything. But there's one song that's called "Come Alive," and really, it's a song of intercession. Part of the phrase, one of the verses is, God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward son. And by Your Spirit, breathe upon them, show the world that You alone can save, You alone can save. And then the chorus is, as we call out to the dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to the dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to the dry bones, come alive. That's what we're doing. That's what this is all about. What a great way of putting it. So what we're doing on Wednesday is not for ourselves. Prayer, corporate prayer, is not for us. Corporate prayer is for everybody else. So, you know, prayer, if we said we're going to have a miracle service Wednesday night, you know, let's come expecting God to do loads of miracles. Everybody, wow, this would be exciting or whatever. But when we say we're going to go and pray, and this is not for our benefit at all, this is us sowing our lives for other people. Because that's what prayer is. That's why prayer in a lot of churches, you get a smaller turnout because, well, it's not for me. I'm not going to, you know. When we have that understanding, actually, I'm going to receive more by going to that place and sowing in prayer than if I go to a miracle service to try and get my miracle. You're actually going to benefit more by going than you are by coming in that sense. So I want to encourage you on Wednesday. I know practically it's not easy sometimes with kids and other, and work and all of that sort of thing. But if there's no reason why you can't be here initially and then we go out on Wednesday, I want to encourage you to be part of what's going to happen on Wednesday, okay? Rather than making a decision, I won't bother going or I'll do something else tonight, do that on Tuesday or Thursday or whenever. But on Wednesday, let's be together and let's go out together and let's see some lives transformed as a result. Let's see the enemy cut off all his plans and purposes. I hate the devil, and you probably do as well. And God hates him even more than we do. And so let's just pray for a moment, okay? Just give yourself to the Lord and say, Father, I'm here. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for everybody that is not yet here. I'm here not for myself, first of all. I'm here to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe some of you might already be, I'm going to be there, that's it, because you have a revelation of the power of prayer, what it does, and it's like, I want to see someone released. Maybe others, you think, well, I don't really understand prayer very much, or whatever. Sometimes the only way to get understanding is to pray. And as you pray, God shows you what you're doing and gives you understanding and helps you, trains you, teaches you, that kind of thing. If there's any blinkers where you've just seen prayer in a certain way, it's like, well, I haven't seen prayer like that. Just say, Father, I want to take the blinkers off right now, the blind spots where I've just seen prayer in a certain way. I want to see you in a fresh way and understand what you want to do through my life and through us as a church, and specifically in Horsham here in this moment. Father, thank you for a fresh revelation of who you are, the authority that we have, that we're ambassadors on earth as if you were here yourself. Father, I thank you that we are here and you filled us with your Holy Spirit and you want to move us to places where you want to do stuff, whether it's praying in a gate or praying in a certain place or however you want to work through our lives. Thank you, you're in us to position us, to move us to where you want us to be. So maybe this morning, just make yourself available afresh to the Lord and say, Father, my life's not mine, it's yours. You bought me with a price. Holy Spirit, you're in me to move me, maneuver me, set me, place me wherever you want to be to release what you want to do, because I'm a vessel. I'm a temple of your Holy Spirit now. I'm not my own judge and jury anymore to decide what I do and don't do. I belong to you. I surrender to you. So, Father, I surrender afresh today. Maybe prayer doesn't excite you. Maybe you think, oh, I don't know, it's not that exciting. Well, it's probably not if you take that approach to it. But maybe just give yourself in a fresh way and you'll find God will begin to release and trigger something new and fresh in you during these days. So, Father, I thank you for a praying people. I thank you for raising up a warring people to war in the Spirit, an army of believers, as we saw in there, that you want to raise up a greater army of those that aren't even saved yet, Father, to become part of this warring people, Father, contending for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We exalt your name. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just before we close this morning, just want to take a few moments, just where people do need to receive for a minute. If there are some burdens, if there are some things going on, challenges, stuff that is concerning you, I just want you to bring it to the Lord right now. Lay it before him now. Give it to him. Anxiety about work or about something, other circumstance, practical situation, stuff that concerns you, you're worried about, anxious. Just give it to him right now. Many of you have heard the whole great rest thing, living in the great rest, not in self. And where how do we come back into that place of rest and peace and God activity? Just surrender it. Give it to him. Surrender afresh. Give it over to him. Whatever's anxiety, any sickness now, pains, diagnosis, things that have been spoken over you. Say, Father, I don't want to live under that word right now. I'm not going to live under that diagnosis. I want to live under your word. So, Father, I give you that diagnosis. I give you what's been spoken, whether verbally or in an email, a letter from the hospital, the doctor, whatever it is. And any hereditary thing, I hand that back over to you right now. Things that have been spoken over my life, I hand that back over. You're right, that's not the word I want to live under. I choose to live under your word, under your authority, as my healer, as my health, and as my wholeness. So every diagnosis that's been spoken that anybody's living under, we just break the power of that over people's lives right now. We speak release from any of those things now. And we thank you, Father, for the power of your word coming into people's lives. Your word of healing, freedom, life right now. Anything else that might be holding you down, just give it to him now. Hand it over to him. Problems, stress, anxiety, worry, just give it all to him now. Father, I thank you as people just surrender themselves. Give it back to you. Father, I thank you for your peace, your total well-being coming upon people. They just know in their mind, arresting right now from the going at 200 miles an hour about this, that, and the other, all the frantic activity. We speak peace right now. Peace to your mind. Peace into your whole psyche. Peace right now into your nervous system, into your body now, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you with that, a fresh revelation of you, to be able to trust you. Fresh revelation to trust that you're a good Father. You're in charge. You know the beginning from the end. You're faithful. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Anybody here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never met him, you might have heard about him, but you've never met him. There's a difference between being in somebody's presence. The Queen could be here and we would all be in her presence. And somebody could say afterwards, did you meet her? And you say, no, I was there in her presence, but I never met her. So you can be in the presence of God, but never meet him. And in a meeting, all of us can be in his presence, but that doesn't mean we're meeting with him. We're just being in his presence. But he wants to meet with you. If you don't know him today, and you might have come here today saying, the reason I've come is because I want to know Jesus, I want to give my life to Jesus, then I'd love to talk with you and pray with you afterwards. I'll be just down here at the front. There'll be one or two other guys from the Connect team who'll be here. Love to pray with you, talk with you, help you in whatever way so that you can meet Jesus for the first time. And anybody else that does need any prayer or ministry, you can come up to the front. You're right as well. And we'd love to pray with you, agree with you, see God do whatever he needs to do in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just raise our hands, shall we? Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Just exalt him over your life. Exalt him over this week. Exalt him over the times you're going to be praying. The time we're going to pray together on Wednesday. Father, we exalt you over our lives and over this time, over this 24/7 prayer. Father, we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for an increase of the spirit of prayer in the life of in our lives and in the life of the church here. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Father, we thank you for a week of health and wholeness, a week of your protection. Father, I thank you, a week of your goodness and your abundance. Thank you that we can be a blessing to people this week. We can be life-giving this week into our marriages, into our families, our homes, in the workplace, neighbors, friends, wherever we're going. We can be life-givers this week. Life-givers, life-givers. Not life-takers, but life-givers this week as we go. That we would light up people's lives because of who you are and what you're doing in us this week. We thank you, Father, for opportunities to pray for the sick, to see you work through our lives in other people's lives this week. We thank you, Father, that we're ambassadors on earth, as if you were here yourself, that we go in your name, in your power this week. We praise your name. And everybody shout it together. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.